Let's talk about the Colts now as we go through our NFL preview list. J.J. Stankovic is here from Colts.com. J.J., how are you today?
I'm great. One more day of beautiful practice out here in Westfield, Indiana, before the Detroit Lions come to town for joint practices tomorrow.
Oh, excellent. I'm a lifelong Lions fan, so I expect a sympathy card in the mail at some particular point, J.G.
Hey, they got a pretty good team, a pretty good offensive line. I'm looking forward to seeing some of those battles.
Yeah, it looks like they've finally drafted, right? But anyways, that's for another day. We're dealing with the Colts. So you missed by a whisker last year. And I go to the divisional record, 3-3. I mean, just on that alone, forget about all the personnel changes, but just on that divisional record, should be a lot better this year, right?
Yeah, you would think, and that's been a big emphasis for this team, is winning the division. It's something they have not done since 2014, and this is a franchise that holds itself to a higher standard than that, when, you know, every other team in the AFC South has won the division since the Colts last won it. But, you know, you look at those games, those three losses, and those are all three games the Colts probably wish they had back. You know, they lost in week three to the Titans, a game when they won the turnover battle 3-0 in Nashville. But Carson Wentz is playing that game on two sprained ankles, and the offense just couldn't really get it going. Then in week eight, they lose to the Titans in overtime in a game that, you know, they certainly feel like they should have been able to win. And then the one that still stings around here is the week 18 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, where the Colts won that game. They're in the playoffs, and instead they lose 26-11. One of the most brutal losses you're going to see with the way the season ended. So a lot of personnel changes with those games, you know, somewhat in mind of, hey, we got to go win our division. We got to go find guys who can go out and win us this division.
Let's talk about the big issue, the quarterback change. So Wentz goes out, Matt Ryan comes in. First of all, on the Wentz departure, what was the feeling there?
You know, it's interesting because Chris Ballard has been asked a couple of times, would you have moved on from Carson if the Colts made the playoffs last year? And he said, you know, we might have reached the same conclusion that we did this year, that, you know, Carson did some good things for us last year, but they just was not viewed as a long-term solution at that position. So they, you know, go ahead and trade him to Washington, then go out and get Matt Ryan. And, you know, the vibe here with Matt Ryan, just a 14-year veteran who the way that he operates the offense during practice, you can just see why he's been so successful over the course of his career. And it's not that, you know, because last year Carson Wentz didn't participate in training camp. So it's hard to say, oh, man, you know, these vibes are totally different because the Colts got rid of Carson Wentz. The vibes are different because Matt Ryan is such a pro. And he's such a veteran and he's such a leader, and it's leading to the Colts getting some really good work out here on the practice fields in Westfield.
So that how you describe Ryan, and I don't know how long you've been on that particular thing with Colts.com. Does he remind you or anybody else of what it used to be like years ago?
Well, I think the most recent example would be Phillip Rivers. I know you can probably, you know, go back and talk about Peyton Manning a little bit. I mean, Peyton Manning's a one-of-one quarterback. And, you know, we've heard a couple of players make some comparisons. Reggie Wayne told us in the spring that, you know, Matt Ryan reminds him so much of Peyton Manning that it makes him sick. But, you know, I think just what you're hearing a lot of around here is the comparison to Phillip Rivers, because you can draw that line with what the Colts offense looked like in 2020 versus, you know, what it could look like in 2022. And it's a lot of the similar qualities where Matt Ryan's going to get the ball out quick. He's going to give his playmakers opportunities to make plays in space with the ball in their hands. And he's a great operator of the offense. But Matt Ryan has more physical skills than Phillip Rivers had. I mean, today at practice, I know it was an unpadded practice and everything, but they run a bootleg to the right, and Matt Ryan just takes off and runs. And even though you're not talking about Matt Ryan at the age of 37 being a mobile quarterback, Phillip Rivers was an immobile quarterback back then. It worked for him. Matt Ryan's got more mobility. He's probably got a stronger arm than Phillip had in 2020. And, you know, those qualities combined with the skill position talent the Colts have, you know, specifically led by Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, and Michael Pittman Jr., lends itself to a lot of optimism around these parts.
Let's talk about some of the new players that have been added. Yannick Ngakoue and Stephen Gilmore. What are your expectations that way?
Ngakoue, Yannick has been, I mean, just like an absolute ball of energy out here during camp. He's disrupting a ton of plays, and his motor is a really good influence for the rest of this entire defense because Yannick has played in this Gus Bradley front where it's very much attack-oriented, get after the quarterback. He's played in it a couple times in Jacksonville and Las Vegas. And again, the energy, it really has lifted the level of competition in practice in a way that I think, probably Gus Bradley expected, but in a way that's been, eye-opening, just watching him work. And then Stephon Gilmore, he's maybe the opposite in terms of energy. He's not, he's kind of a quiet guy, but man, is he good. He's having a great camp. Maybe, if you're ranking the Colts players who have had the best training camp so far, Stephon Gilmore is going to be at the top of that list. He's consistently making plays on the ball. I mean, he's locking down these wide receivers sometimes in one-on-one drills just because he knows exactly what route they're going to run before they run it, just that wealth of knowledge. And then the lead by example standard that he sets is really impressive. It's really cool to see how he works with the other defensive backs, kind of acclimating himself to this scheme, the Gus Bradley scheme that, they're going to run here. Two guys, I mean, those two guys right there. This defense already had a pretty high standard based on the number of takeaways they had last year and how they hustle and rally to the ball. And those two guys have elevated that standard even higher. The defense looks really, really good.
Well, let's switch to the offense. I mean, you've got a new quarterback, and Mike Strahan. I mean, what do you expect him to do this year? That should be pretty good expectations.
It's much Strawn, not Strahan, like the defensive end, which is not it's not phonetically obvious there that it's pronounced Strawn. But yeah, he just returned to practice today. He was on the PUP list. He's a guy who flashed a lot during training camp. He only had two catches in the regular season. He had taken a year off of football because of the COVID pandemic, canceling his D2 season. But the rest of the wide receivers on this team, you've seen flashes here and there from them. Paris Campbell started off training camp really good, looking like a really good connection has been developed there with Matt Ryan. Alec Pierce, the second-round rookie out of Cincinnati, he's started to come on as of late now as he gets his feet wet in the NFL and gets more comfortable with some of the things that he's being asked to do. And then Ashton Doolin, this kid, he's a former undrafted free agent from Malone College, which no longer even plays football in the state of Ohio. And he's fast. He's physical. Kind of maybe the replacement, in a sense, for what Zach Pascal brought to this offense over the last couple of years. There are a lot of folks here in Indianapolis, at least outside of the Colts building, who have concerns about the wide receiver room. I think talking to some people in the building, those concerns are maybe a little bit over. They have here. They like what they've seen on the practice field. Does that mean this team will not add a wide receiver at some point between now and we? That for sure. But, the Colts so far have liked what they've seen from that group. Michael Pittman Jr., I mean, the fact that I got this far without even mentioning him, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. He is the clear number one here.
A conservative betting line here. The total is set at 9.5 wins. They won nine a year ago. I got to believe that that's a pretty good bet. What do you think?
I mean, I got to think the team gets double-digit wins. You look at the state of the division, and yes, Jacksonville's given this team problems, especially in Jacksonville. But the Jaguars and the Texans are at kind of different points in terms of rebuilding those two franchises. The Titans are always going to be a Mike Vrabel is a group, the capital G, but this is not in necessarily of the AFC West, a division that I think a lot of people think is the best in football. But then outside of that, if you're looking at some of those crossover games, the Colts get the Pittsburgh Steelers at home in the AFC North instead of getting a team like the Cincinnati Bengals or the Cleveland Browns. There's some differences. And just where those organizations are. I don't know. I think probably 10 wins should be the minimum here, but I would also say whatever it takes to win the division is what the Colts are going to go for.
It'll be interesting to see. That's sure. JJ, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
JJ Stankiewicz from Colts.com.